It's so good to be here. Last week we had a great time at the park. What a fun Sunday that was, and it's good to have you. It looks like, I better say hi to Hope at home, because about a bunch of them are like, it's just too hot. I can't go to church. Well, we talk about heaven here so you don't have to feel the hot someday. So it's all good. So this Wednesday, something super important at Hope Church. We have a special guest who's an expert on Mormonism. And you're like, what do you want to talk about Mormons about? We're all good people. Well, it's true. Mormons are a lot nicer than a lot of church people. Not you, but just church people. But did you know that the Mormons actually claim that if it weren't for Joseph Smith, there would be no salvation? Did you know that Joseph Smith was somewhat equal to God and becoming a God? Did you know that they believe we are equal to Jesus Christ?
Mommy!
Me too. Mommy, help me. We're not trying to condemn anybody, but it's important that you understand that while they may have the most beautiful building in town, let's talk about the foundation. And do you know what you believe? I mean, people say, they're just good people. I don't deny that. But if a good person was telling you that the way to get to heaven was through another person, you might want to know that. So Wednesday night, we're super excited, 6:00. Eric Johnson, he's just written a new book on how to talk to Mormons about Christianity. He's going to be here. He's actually with us today. They flew in about since 1:00, so they're allowed to sleep during my sermon. Well, so are you if I can't keep you awake. Maybe you need a nap. But we're excited about that. Wednesday night, he's going to talk to us. We can ask a lot of questions. Then Thursday, those who want to will tour the temple, not because we're going to embrace that, but just to say, hey, what is that? It'll be the only time ever that you will be able to tour that temple during this time. So I'm excited about learning more, and boy, we appreciate you guys flying here and talking to us about that. So we've been in this series on the Beatitudes, and Jesus taught 8 statements about being blessed or happy are those. And today we're going to look at the most misunderstood beatitude of them all. It's the attitude of meekness. That's so strange. The Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Happy are the gentle, for the earth will be their heritage. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. How many resumes have you read that one of the top characteristics is meekness? It's just not something, hey, how you doing? I'm feeling kind of meek today. I mean, in our society, right, there's this big thing on the bottom with all of us, and we want to try to work our way up to the top. And we live in a culture where if you're not doing your job well, somebody else would love to take your spot at Walmart. It is survival of the fittest, and meekness has literally lost its meaning. And when we think about weakness, and we're going to define that, but let's talk about really what it's not. You might think, well, meekness equals weakness. Absolutely untrue. I believe there are only 2 people in the scriptures who were called meek. One of them is Jesus Christ. And the other is Moses. Meekness, if you could just capture this, it means strength under control. Strength under control. You know, I grew up in California, and I remember the Hell's Angels. And I remember just reading this funny story about they roll up to this diner, and a guy's sitting in the back corner, and he's just eating his spaghetti, drinking his beer, and Hell's Angels walk in, and one of the guys grabs his spaghetti and throws it on the floor, dumps his beer out, and he's waiting to see what's going to happen. Truck driver just calmly gets up, goes, pays his bill, and walks out. Oh, about a minute later, that Hell's Angel walks up to the guy at the counter and says, well, not much of a man, is he? And he said, well, apparently not, and not much of a truck driver either. He just ran over 12 motorcycles on his way out of the building. You know, when you think about meekness, it's not being weak. It's being in control of yourself. And I can tell you that if we were in control of ourselves, you would have less stress. It's absolutely true. When we think of meekness, in the Greek, it refers to a wild horse being tamed. Or it refers to a medicine that is able to tame a fever. So when you think about that, think of a huge wild horse that is bridled and tamed. It's not that the horse doesn't have strength. It's that it's strength under control. Happy are those who don't overreact to people. Let me just give you 5 quick scenarios, and I want you today to judge yourself. Like, I don't judge, I love you to pieces, but I want you today to say, all right, let me just ask this about myself. It's kind of the test of how am I in terms of strength under control or meekness. The first one is this. When somebody serves you, are you understanding or demanding? This morning I went to Walmart early to buy a pool. The grandkids are at our house. That's why Sharon's not here. Anyone have grandkids? Right, she was afraid she would lose one without our kids here. So I go to buy this pool, and I said, here it is. Can you tell me where this pool is? Last year I bought it outside. Oh, sure, it's in the front of the store where all the pools are. I went to the front of the store, trying to be nice. I know what I have to do today, right? It doesn't look good. If I come in and say, yeah, I completely blew it first thing this morning. Guy, I had to interrupt him, and he was mad that I interrupted him. And I'm like, okay, do you know where these pools are? He goes, yeah, the pools are right there. I said, no, that's a rubber pool. I want a plastic pool. Well, they're in the garden center. Sir, I was just out there, and they told me it's in here. So he calls somebody. We'll help him. I said, sir, don't mean, I said, I'm sorry. Who's going to help me? I don't really know. Do I just walk out there and go, are you the one? Have you ever been in this situation? So when somebody's serving you, how do you respond? When you have employees underneath you, do they feel beneath you? How about the teller at the bank? How many times have I heard from people in other countries, Americans are just so demanding. They're just so demanding. And actually, I've been a pastor 30-some years. I've even seen this, and I'm not saying Hope Church, but in the church. I'm here, what can you do for me? Well, what I can do for you is help you grow in Jesus Christ. Now, what are you going to do for Jesus Christ? And so, just ask yourself, am I understanding or am I demanding? Here's another one. When somebody disappoints you, and that's going to happen to all of us, right? So somebody's not going to measure up to that standard in which we wanted them to measure up to. Do we respond with judgment or with gentleness? Isn't that a great question? I like how the Message Bible kind of phrases this. Welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something that you don't agree with. Even when it seems that they have strong opinions, but they're weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. Wow. Let me ask this question. When somebody disappoints you, in the back of your mind, do you kind of say, I saw it coming? Matter of fact, I'm not going to say it out loud, but I warned you. Have you ever done that? Of course you have. And so have I. But I'm so thankful when I make a mistake, Christ doesn't go, told ya, shouldn't have done that one. I mean, he is gentle. There is a time that judgment is coming, obviously. And so just ask yourself this question. Are you gentle or judgmental? Jesus, he didn't get angry often, but I think the most angry Jesus was in the scriptures, more than anything else, was when seemingly religious people casted judgment on others. And you know, there's a vast difference between sin and sinners. No one from this pulpit is going to say we embrace doing whatever you want. We embrace doing what the Bible says that we ought to do. But there's a difference between people who are sinning and people. People matter to God. Why? Christ died for people. Okay, let me ask you this question. Here's number three. When somebody disagrees with you, are you a person who's able to be tender, but not necessarily having to surrender? Do you understand the difference? People who just say, oh yeah, have it your way, have it your way. That's not meekness at all. But when somebody disagrees with you, when somebody disagrees with me, how do we respond? Because the truth is, you can't please everybody. When I was a young pastor, I used to try to please everybody. When I hit 50, I quit trying to please anybody. Because the minute you've got point A, oh, we're all with you. Point B's mad. And then you try to, I'm gonna please point B. Then you didn't even realize there was a point C. And you can't make everybody happy. But how we respond to people does matter. And I'm going to tell you, last Sunday, oh, it was a good day. And one of the elders and his son-in-law and me and my son-in-law, we're golfing. Great day. Our son-in-laws can hit it a half a mile, but it's sometimes in a different zip code. And so on one hole, I think it was hole 16, a little bit of a duck hook, we pull up and a guy standing outside. He has one of their golf balls. Okay. So Mark, one of our elders, he kind of says, oh, we're so sorry, didn't mean to do that. He's starting to walk towards the golf ball, and the guy says, you're not getting it back. I'm like, you live on a golf course. And he starts going off, and there's this thing inside of me that starts going off. And he says, do you see how much fairway there is? You hit in the fairway. Well, it's Sunday, and if I was that good, I'd be on the tour, and I wouldn't be in church. But no, I'm in church. We don't golf every Sunday. We're just here with our son-in-laws having a good time. Well, you guys should take up miniature golf. And I thought, that's it. I'm going to deck him in the love of the Lord. I'm going to lay hands on him, and he's going out. And I thought, Jim, you know what you're teaching next Sunday. But have you ever been there when somebody just, oh, and there's a couple responses we can have. We can retreat in fear. Oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Or we can attack in anger. That's what I want to do. And don't act like you're that holy. How many of you have been driving this week? Yeah. Now we have confessions. Or you can respond in grace. Now, outwardly, I responded in grace. One of them hit their ball, and I'm telling you the truth. We all need the Lord. Mark was going to hit his ball. I said, stop. I said, picture that man on that ball. I'm thinking, Jesus, why? I said, picture that guy. I've never seen him hit it so hard and straight. But have you ever been there where you're like, you know what? Meekness isn't weakness, but it's responding in a way that still honors the Lord. Now, I've been a pastor a long time, and I just something from that guy, we're just trying to have fun, and it really made me mad. Have you been there? That's why we need the scriptures. A gentle answer quiets anger, but a harsh word stirs it up. Wherever there is jealousy or selfish ambition, there will be disorder, but wisdom from above is pure, peaceful, gentle, and friendly. You stressed out today? I was stressed out last Sunday. You know why? Because I let his actions dictate my response. You know that word here that says gentle? It's the same word in the Greek that is the word for meek. Meekness and gentleness mean strength under control. You know, you can be a person who walks hand in hand, and you don't have to see eye to eye. It's not just agreeing with everybody. But happier those who treat others the way God treats others, whether we agree or we disagree. How are you with that? How are you when it comes to conflict? A lot of stress in our lives when we don't understand this word that's so misunderstood, meekness, strength under control. Number four, and we'll kind of wrap things up here pretty quick, and I'm excited that we're going to receive communion. When somebody corrects you, are you unreachable? Or are you still teachable? When you are corrected, are you unreachable or are you still teachable? Boy, the truth is that we don't know everything. Everybody has a weakness in some area, and everybody has a strength in areas. I absolutely can be taught by you. You absolutely can be taught by me. But sometimes we just get fed up and we're like, no, I don't want to hear it. Matter of fact, I'm not going to hear it. Some person said it this way, I'd rather change my mind and succeed than have my own way and fail. Meekness is not weakness. A meek person is understanding before they're so demanding. They're gentle before being so judgmental, and they're teachable. So again, we're all asking this question, how am I doing with that? How am I doing with that? Jesus said, blessed are those, happier are those. These are attitudes. There's one thing that I can somewhat control in this world, and it's my attitude. I can't control how somebody else responds to me. I can't control the reaction of somebody. I can't control the reaction of the somebody in Walmart this morning that said, well, it says the location is not found. Really? Then how do I buy my grandkids a pool that my wife asked me to buy? before I come home. What am I going to do, spend the night in the church? No, I didn't say that. I said, I'm telling you, last year, they're outside down lane one. So let's walk out there. I said, I don't want to go to church like Sop and Wet. I said, how about I buy it, and then I just go pick it up. Well, do you need help lifting it? It's a little plastic pool. Apparently, I look a lot older than I seem. But, you know, you've been there. And the thing about life is that the judgment of our Christianity is how we respond, not when every single prayer is answered, but when there's a rub in life. When somebody's trying to teach you something you don't want to be taught. When somebody is serving you and you're like, I need to go now. When somebody is at a stoplight turning left and they're playing on their phone and then they realize it and they go through the stops, you know, turn signal and you're stuck. I saw you patting your husband there. It's okay, dear. I'm not even going to look up so you know which direction I'm looking, but I do see that hand. Okay, here's the last one. When somebody hurts you, do you act according to Scripture or do you react according to your own thoughts? Man, that's tough. In a room with this many people and as many people are watching Hope at Home, we've all been hurt. And sometimes it's so unjustly. Romans says this, don't repay evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. Isn't it absolutely difficult to not let somebody else's response determine your reactions? Have you ever said this? You make me so mad. You make me angry. And then what we're saying there is, I'm allowing you to dictate my life. You know what I love about the Scriptures? They're for real people like you and me, who deal with real life like you and me. And I wish that you would never be hurt. I wish that I would not have been hurt by people, even church people. But that's life. And we need to be people who have received grace in order to give grace. Hurting people hurt people. And I had to learn some years ago that my aptitude on forgiving others sometimes had nothing to do with another person being sorry or not. It had to do with me not letting their actions control my reactions. Many times I've had to say, God, I know the Lord's Prayer, and I know where it says, forgive me as I forgive. And I need to let this go, whether they change or not. I'm not acknowledging what they did isn't real. I'm not acknowledging what they did didn't hurt. I'm not acknowledging that they were right, it was wrong, but I have to let it go for my sake. If I were to ask you right now, who hurt you? Right then, you would already know. What hurt you? Right then, you'd already know. Isn't that sad? That immediately, boom, pops into our heads. That's why we need the grace of the Lord, right? Because we're going to be hurt, and what we do with our hurt matters. It really does. God, help us not to let somebody else control the outcome of our life. You know, when that happens, words are hard and they hurt. And I like this definition of meekness. It's in Proverbs. It says this: he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his own spirit than he who captures a city. Blessed are those who can have control of their emotions, even when somebody wrongs us. Doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean we're just going to say, hey, let's just keep, you know, doing that. But interestingly, happiness is a choice. I believe Jesus is trying to convey to his followers that happiness belongs to people who are in control. Think about the prime example of this. Jesus is on the cross. Could he not have called for thousands of angels and obliterated anybody in his presence? Could he not have overcome the Roman government? Could he not have changed the heart of Judas? Could he not have killed Judas? The power of Jesus Christ, the same power that raised him from the dead and did all of the miracles. John says there's so many, I can't even write them all down. That one hung on the cross for you and me. That's what I love about Jesus. He's not saying, hey, you do this, but I didn't do it. You think he was abused? Yep. His best friend sold him out. One of his other best friends said, I don't even know him. His other friends, when they took him to the cross, they all left. He was lied about. So many times he was not only misunderstood, he was ridiculed. And he could have done everything so differently. But that's why we celebrate today communion. Strength under control was Jesus Christ on the cross. Here's kind of a last thought. I wrote this down. I said, are you stressed out today? Maybe you've never even thought about it, but the quality of meekness might be just what you need. Controlling your reactions with God's strength could absolutely revolutionize the way you interact with other people and how you feel inside. Happy are the gentle, for the earth will be their heritage. When we think about communion, it's a beautiful gift that we've been given. That in these next few moments, I just want you to think for a moment how good God is and how much he's done for you and how much he's done for me. And, you know, I'm not embarrassed to tell you that I wanted to punch a guy last Sunday because we were just having fun and he ridiculed us. I'm not embarrassed to tell you that, you know, it was a little frustrating today at Walmart where I'm trying to hurry up and do that. I'm a normal person just like you, and I need the Lord. Not yearly, not, you know, through 9 years of seminary. I need the Lord today. And so do you. And that's why we're going to receive communion. The scripture, Paul wrote these words. And he said, for I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus, you are broken. Not broken bones, but broken in your body. Beat, whipped, having thorns shoved down on your forehead for me. Lord, thank you for your meekness. That wasn't weakness. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Take this as often as you do, drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And the Lord's death for me brings life. Before I receive communion today, I thank the Lord. I thank him for dying for me. I thank him that in my weakness, he still loves me. I thank him that I can say, man, Lord, sorry that I was so mad at that. Help me, Lord, to be more a reflection of you. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. He already knows. Why don't we just own up to who we are? People who need Jesus, not a one-time conversion, but for the rest of our lives. I've been a pastor for many years. I've been a Christian a lot longer than that. But it doesn't mean that I've arrived. It means that I'm still human. And on this earth, I'll never be sinless. I sure plan as I continue to grow in Christ to sin less. But I'm still human. And so as we receive this communion today, I encourage you to be honest with the Lord. And you don't have to be a member of Hope Church to receive communion. Anyone who's a part of God's family and has accepted his son as your savior, that is who communion's for. And maybe you're new here at Hope Church today. Here's how communion works. There's four sections in the church, two in the front, two in the back. And in a moment, I'm going to pray for us. And then you can get up and go receive communion. And really, before you do, the scripture says that we contemplate ourselves. Because this is so serious, the Lord died for us. We contemplate our own selves and say, Lord, this is where I need you. This is where I'm at. Would you help me? Yeah. And then we'll sing one last song and we'll be dismissed. And I'm so thankful for you today. I love you all so much. And Hope at Home, I love you too. And what an honor to be one of your pastors. I want to pray for you and bless you, and then we'll receive communion. And the worship team will sing one last song as we're receiving communion, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you. Thank you that the scriptures are as relevant today as the moment they were written. Thank you that right now, we can just do a self-check and say, how am I with meekness? Am I stressed out because I'm not teachable? I'm judgmental. I'm so demanding. I'm not gentle. Lord, could you help us to take one step closer to you and fill us, Lord. Fill us to the point that we spill out the grace of Jesus. God, forgive us for our sins. Help us to be forgiving to those who sin against us. Help us to draw strength from your body that was broken for us. Help us to acknowledge the fact that you died that we might have life and that we might be blessed in this life and that we might enjoy living in your spirit, Lord. I pray for each one today, Lord, you would bless them, that you would keep them close to them. Lord, that your face would radiate about them and that we would live in the peace that comes from knowing you. And we receive this bread and we receive this juice in honor of what you did for us. Thank you that you absolutely modeled strength under control. In your holy name we pray. Let's stand together.